Well, if I start preaching this afternoon and I'm panting, it's because I feel like I'm still running the bases playing softball. Still trying to cool down from that activity. It was a great time out there. Trust that you had a good time. I enjoyed the fellowship with you. Enjoyed the personal interaction that we've had in meals and just having the opportunity to preach to you. Your open hearts, I'm going to pray for you as God continues to bring you to mind through my times of prayer. And so thank you so much for a wonderful time together. Let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles to Psalm 22, and also, actually, why don't we go to Matthew 27, 46, and I will make reference to Psalm 22, but that might be the better way. Let's go to Matthew 27 and verse 46. It's been observed on many, many different occasions, and rightly so, that Jesus quoted the Word of God for His authority during His earthly ministry. You've taught that, we've heard that, it needs to be said again. Jesus battled temptation using Scripture. Jesus answered difficult questions going back to the authority of Scripture. Jesus preached the Word on the authority of Scripture, and He's the Son of God. And so here we go, ending our sessions with the perfect example, a wonderful example, the one Jesus Christ who is our very strength spiritually. So as we think about these things, Jesus was, this is a very sacred moment here, this is a time where Jesus was about to die. He has been suffering for a number of hours. And as He is doing so, we see that He cries out to His Heavenly Father, who He's had perfect fellowship with for all of eternity. Notice what it says here in verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, here's what He's saying. My God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? Now, there's a lot of things that Jesus could have said. He could have said, this really hurts. Just let me die. But He is speaking about His relationship specifically to His Heavenly Father. And in so doing, He's quoting Psalm 22 in verse 1. And so I want us to just consider why Jesus was doing that. Was it because, and this is a little simplistic here, but was it because the Holy Spirit, who knows everything, had just prophesied, kind of like a video that's predicting a prophecy, this is what Jesus is going to say. And so Psalm 22 is a record of that. It's simply a recording. Is that what's happening here? Well, certainly the Holy Spirit knew what Jesus was going to say, but there's more to it than that. Is it possible that as Jesus was finishing His ministry, and many believed on Him, but not all, that He was authenticating that He, in fact, is the Messiah? And if anybody out there didn't get it, get it in these final moments. I'm the Messiah. My God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? That too is an oversimplified perspective of this. Jesus, in His divine nature from eternity past, had recognized that Psalm 22 was going to be the fulfillment of His great work in dying for the sins of the world. But as a man, and this is what I'm interested in for each one of us here today, as a man, there were times when Jesus would hear this psalm, Psalm 22, read in a synagogue or at the temple or in His own personal time with the Heavenly Father, and He's thinking about these things and He's saying, Heavenly Father, this is the reason I've come. There's going to be a moment where I'm going to vicariously take on the sins of the world, and there's going to be a separation from Me and You, and Lord, I recognize that's the very reason that I've come. And so I want us to see this truth first of all, and that is the Word of God gives us appropriate expression to cry out when we are in deep distress. You realize that in life and in death and in trials and in suffering, sometimes really the only appropriate thing to say, or one of the few appropriate things to say, is the actual Word of God. And this is what Jesus is doing. In these final moments of strength, He's teaching us this principle as well. Some of you may be aware, but December of last year, my dad was dying of terminal cancer. We were ready to let him go because the bone cancer was really causing so much pain. We longed for the day that he could be whole and not could be suffering anymore. And so we spent those last days around his bedside. And God answered many of our prayers. And my mom was there, of course, and I was there, and family were surrounding. And as the Lord called him home, my mom said this, and she didn't say this so anyone would necessarily know about it, but she just quoted Scripture immediately. She said, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? And I'll tell you what she was doing. She was taunting that death is not the final victor. And the only thing appropriate at a moment of saying goodbye to her spouse of 50 plus years, the only appropriate statement at that moment seemed to be the Word of God. And I'm just saying Jesus is demonstrating this very principle that as he is dying for our sins, and as he is suffering, and as experiencing this vicarious separation from the Father, he literally quotes the Word of God. It was about 2008, and I was in Wisconsin. We were visiting family. I was traveling back to Indiana. I was assistant pastor under Pastor Zempel. And I had seen on the weather before I had left that they had showed that there were some severe thunderstorms that were to come through Indiana. And I thought, oh, it looks like it's going to pass before I get there. It shouldn't be a concern. So we're halfway in the trip, and then all of a sudden I get a call on my cell phone, and a friend from Indiana says, hey, I just want to let you know that if your neighborhood is completely flooded, you can stay with us. And I was like, what are you talking about? She said, well, the street beside you, the water's up to the mailbox. And she said, it's been a terrible flood. It's overrun the banks. The whole town's flooded, so we didn't know what to expect as we drove into town. Well, our street is slightly higher elevation. We did not have water come into our house, but it came very, very close, came up to the doorstep. So we walked in, we're assessing everything, and then Pastor Zempel called, who I was working for. And he called, and he said, I just want to talk to you about what just happened at the church. And I said, what's going on? He said, well, we have 7 feet of water in the basement. Now, I thought that just doesn't even sound possible, just thinking about like how much volume of water. I said, did you say 7 inches? He said, no, it's 7 feet. Now, the context for that is the church, our church, Martinsville Baptist Tabernacle at that time, had sacrificed everything we had, everything, just to finish the basement. I mean, a lot of personal sacrifice, a lot of effort, because we just had moved into the basement. We drywalled, we painted, we put $10,000 worth of doors down there. We spent all that we had just to be able to move in, and that's when it flooded. $300,000 worth of damage is terrible loss. And this is what Pastor Zempel said to me on the phone. He said, the Lord has given, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm encouraging us that there are times where the only appropriate response, because we don't know what to say, is to go back to the very Word of God. Jesus himself set forth this example for us by quoting Psalm 22. Now, we realize there's a lot more involved here because he's dying for the sins of the world. But this is a wonderful truth for us to remember, that the Word of God does give us appropriate expressions to cry out to God when we are in deep distress. Are you in deep distress today? Have there been times this past year or recently where you've been in deep distress? The only counterweight to the pressure of the world and spiritual warfare and weakness of the flesh, the counterweight is the Word of God coupled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And he uses the words of Scripture to be able to animate us spiritually to be able to respond the way that we ought to. Notice our truth number two, and that is the Word of God reminds us that part of God's perfect plan will involve experiencing pain and suffering. I think about this from Psalm 22. That's what I'm referring to. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? David had experienced so many times in his life of fleeing from King Saul, and he's promised. In fact, he'd been anointed already to be king, but he doesn't get the throne. He's fleeing for years, and his own father-in-law is threatening his life. Those are not wasted years. God is preparing David to truly depend upon him. That when David begins to get God's blessing, he knows where he came from. He lived in caves. He's a shepherd boy. And the brokenness, the dependency, the leaning heavily on God, that's going to make him to become the king that he had become. God was working through that. So when David says in Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he's penning these words. He's not thinking about the Messiah per se. He is thinking about his own personal experiences. God does use suffering. And he uses experiencing pain in our lives to be able to bring about his perfect plan within our lives. Some of you may recognize the name Ron Visser. He is involved with Precious Stones Biblical Counseling Ministry. And from time to time, he comes up here and he's able to be involved in things like Renew or perhaps help in different counseling cases that come up. He's a really gracious man of God. Well, it was approximately 3 years ago that I got a call from his dad. Ron at that time was working part-time at a factory with his brother. And what had happened was they were using a forklift to be able to load some heavy metal up on the shelves. And one of those bins became dislodged with all different pieces of metal, and it fell on him and it nearly killed him. Severed his neck, it lacerated in a major way, it broke his neck. He could have been crushed to death. He certainly experienced a lot of physical pain and suffering. Now here's a guy who's walking with the Lord. Here's a guy who's being used in ministry in a great way. And the Lord says, Ron, I have a plan for you. I'm going to teach you some lessons that you would not be able to learn except you go through pain and suffering and experiencing a time of real trial in your life. There are things, there are ways that the Lord can only teach us in his perfect plan by experiencing pain and suffering. And we see here even in Jesus, as he cries out, he leans upon the word of God. This is the very thing that comes out of his heart and his mind. We finished our Wednesday service last week, and I looked at my phone, and I saw a name on there that I hadn't seen since probably 2019 or something. I thought, I wonder what's going on. So I check the message, and I find out that one of the little boys that had come to our vacation Bible school in 2019, that his father was deathly sick. Now, his father's middle age was dealing with organ failure. His kidneys had shut down. His liver was shutting down, and his wife had called to say that he's really in his final moments, and I began to reflect upon that. Ronnie had trusted Christ through that vacation Bible school. In following up with Ronnie, we were able to lead his dad, Steve, to the Lord. We were able to lead Shannon to the Lord. Didn't happen all at once, but over a series of weeks that happened. So that was Wednesday, last Wednesday. So that Thursday, I was able to read Psalm 46, Psalm 23 to Steve as he lay there, Shannon, who deeply needed to be comforted. Yes, they're young Christians, but they had the Word of God. What else can possibly bring comfort in our lives except in a moment like that except the Word of God? And it wasn't but 3 hours later that God called him home to be with him forever. So I mention these things to say that the Word of God does encourage us that since Jesus suffered alone on our behalf, alone, we will never have to suffer alone. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He feels forsaken because he's vicariously taking our sin for himself. But there isn't a trial that you'll ever go through. There isn't a trial that I'll ever go through. There isn't a trial churches will ever go through that we will ever be alone in suffering because Jesus already suffered alone so that you'll never have to suffer alone. I was teaching a class here in December. And my brother-in-law, who lives pretty close to Grafton, he is on dialysis, and he has some health problems, and he was going to have heart surgery. I just happened to be in town, so I stopped by with the Bible, and I stopped by just to provide some comfort to him. He is a believer, and I began to read scripture with him and just talk to him and just listen to him for a while, and he made it through the heart surgery, everything. The Lord really blessed. But the fact is, his wife called my wife, they're both sisters, to specifically say how much her husband was specifically helped through the encouragement of the Word of God. And he looked at me before that surgery, and he's like, you know, whatever happens, he goes, I truly am okay with it, knowing that he knows the Lord. And so I say that for us to be able to recognize that the Word of God can encourage us. Since Jesus suffered alone on our behalf, we will never have to suffer alone because he has taken that place for us. So as we wrap up the truths that we've been looking at over these last couple days, I really want to encourage us that the Word of God is necessary to sustain a servant of God who is going through deep waters. Even Jesus, in his mind, as a man, thinks back to Psalm 22. What a perfect thing to quote during a time of intense suffering. And when the enemy attacks us with a hard press, it's going to take the counterweight of the very Word of God and the Spirit of God to be able to sustain us. And so we have within this very, very simple sermon here this afternoon some principles that teach us that as we suffer, we must have the very Word of God. When we suffer, we will reflect the Word of God and it can sustain our faith. Job said it this way, but he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Now, we don't have all the answers as far as why did God allow the church to be flooded? Well, God ended up restoring that and meeting a lot of different needs. We don't always know why a loved one has been taken at the time that that loved one has been. But we can say this with Job. He knows the way that I take. The Word sustains me. And when he's done trying me, I shall come forth as gold. There will be times in our lives where we will be tried in a heavy way. And at that point, we need to reach back to the truths that we've been meditating on and thinking about to sustain us, to respond with reverence and thankfulness and dependence upon the Lord the one who can sustain us during trials. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we are so thankful that the Word of God can be able to give us a map, a capacity to be able to make sense of our time of suffering. And I thank you that of all the people that we can consider, that Jesus has been the perfect example for us in this life. And so, Lord, I pray that whatever burdens these men are going through or will be going through in the near future, that you would help us to recall the Word of God to give us counsel, to give us faith, to give us strength, to be able to face those adversities with courage. We do thank you for your watch care for us. We thank you that you do all things well. We pray these things in Jesus' name.